The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
All right, I apologize. I'm really, really sorry. I apologize unreservedly. I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis in fact and was in no way fair comment and was motivated purely by malice. And I deeply regret any distress that my comments may have caused you or your family. And I hereby undertake not to repeat any such slander at any time in the future.
Ha ha ha, ha ha ha, pow.
Wolfman Jack on the Hallelujah Trail.
The Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah Trail.
Creativity in the brain, and if you have a golf ball size consciousness, when you read a book, you'll have a golf ball size understanding. When you look out, a golf ball size awareness, and when you wake up in the morning, a golf ball size wakefulness. But if you could expand that consciousness, then you read the book, more understanding. You look out, more awareness. And when you wake up, more wakefulness. It's consciousness. And there's an ocean of pure, vibrant consciousness inside each one of us. Where? And it's right at the source and base of mind, right at the source of thought, and it's also at the source of all matter.
There is no matter as such. All matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force which brings the particle of an atom to vibration and holds this most minute solar system of the atom together. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix
science
of all matter.
Matter seems like a good place to begin. The solidity of the world seems totally indisputable. As a fixed thing that you can see and touch, your body is also reassuringly solid. But beginning with Einstein, modern physics has assured us that this solidity is a mirage.
All of physical matter, everything we have around us, is the result of a frequency.
The Frank is on.
And what that also means is that if you amplify the frequency, the structure of the matter will change.
What this self-contained system is a hologram. It's what I call the super hologram. Everything within it is an expression of the hologram. This is one of the great characteristics of a hologram is that every part of a holographic picture is a smaller version of the whole.
It's as if reality is so connected that when you look at one small part, you can see things about other parts. The entire whole is contained in the part. And in a sense, you can't divide reality up because we're cutting up the hologram. We can't find where one particle is because it's always a reflection of all particles.
In a hologram, the whole pattern is whole and complete unto itself. And if you were to take any little portion of this whole out and examine it closely, you will see the entire pattern repeating itself again and again and again. Anywhere in this pattern, if we were to change one little aspect.
Okay, here we go. Little
listening to Frank Coppola.
One hen.
Two ducks.
Three squawking geese.
Four limerick oysters.
Five corpulent porpoises.
Six pairs of Don Alvarezzo's tweezers.
7,000 Macedonians in full battle array.
Eight brass monkeys from the ancient sacred crypts of Egypt.
Nine apathetic, sympathetic, diabetic old men on roller skates with a marked propensity towards procrastination and sloth.
10 lyrical, spherical, diabolical denizens of the deep who host all around the corner of the Crow and the Key of the... well, bollocks quivery, all at the same time.
That's some control over there, you know what I mean?
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Coppola.
Some control over there, you know what I mean?
Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine. Postmodernists, Netarati couple surfers, netaholics and infomaniacs, philosophical entertainment and relevant irreverence, once again. Wake up, it's night, time once again to go a-chronicling, Y2K plus 13. On the precipice of the Ides of March. Are you really listening? Is this really me? talk about it. Stay with us. From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of this show, because I am the one who goes a chronicling. Actually, not one, just leading, pipering. I've just created a new phrase, I think. Therefore, I am. I go pied pipering, and you following me through the chronicling of this. Chronicling, pied pipering, whatever the case might be. The case is right now, Y2K plus 13. Wow, huh? Y2K plus 13 in the Northeast, where we are experiencing another wave of cold and some more storms coming in after a brief hiatus of warmth, a flirting with spring. It was a dead-on lie. As we all know, that rascally rodent came out and told us that we were going to have an early spring, I think he said. You know what? Who remembers, like a week after Punxsutawney Phil says anything, who remembers? I don't know. And the next year comes and Punxsutawney Phil gets out there. And, you know, it can't be the same groundhog, can it? I wonder if it's the same family. It's like the Punxsutawney Phil Jr. And here's my real question. My real question, as opposed to my fake question. Here's the big question today that I have after a new pope has been adorned, has decided to use a relatively close, actually another translation of the name Frank. Here's my question to you. Why isn't there a vice pope? Something to think about? Perhaps that is something to think about. But I was talking about the cold here, and it was dawning, and I hate this. Let me give you another. I use the word hate very liberally because I'm, you know, I'm a New Yorker, and we go right for the throat most of the time. So we use words like hate, funny for strange, hate for, you know, here's something that annoys me, a mild annoyance. But I'm sick of it. I'm really sick of this, and I am getting more and more upset with weathermen who say they are meteorologists or whatever. I just think here's what bothers me. And maybe it doesn't bother you, but it's starting to bother me. If you go outside and it's 33 degrees, they tell you the temperature. The temperature is 33 degrees, but it feels like 21. Wait a second. Then the temperature is 21. The wind chill factor makes it. Well, why isn't the wind part of the weather? Why do we separate it and make the wind chill factor, the wind chill factor of the weather? Look, if there's no wind, you know, that's like saying, you know what? If there were another 2 feet of snow, this would be a blizzard. It's the blizzard factor. There's only 2 inches of snow out there, but if there were 20, it would be a blizzard. So the wind is blowing, and you tell you the wind is blowing, and it's going to be cold. So if the wind is blowing and it's 21, it's not 33, it's 21. Don't tell me what it feels like out there. Don't tell me what it feels like out there. And these weathermen, do they just have something to say? Are they just waiting for tornadic activity? What is going on with them? I mean, you know, today they can forecast the weather again, thanks to digital technology, in quantum measurements and in quantum accuracy. They can, and yet they have to tell us the most ridiculous things in the world. How about this? The wind, if you put the wind chill, it's 33 degrees out, but with the wind chill, there's a big winds, there are heavy winds, they're going. The winds are going as part of the weather. You don't separate the wind from the weather. It's cold. with the wind is the weather, right? How about this? It's 33 degrees out. Now, if it were raining with the rain, suppose it's raining. With the rain, it feels like 32, right? Because the rain maybe makes, then it's 32. The continual corruption of our language in reference, not to our language, but in reference to communicating, is nuts. It's nuts. Everybody's got to get back to learning a little bit more about how to speak clearly. And I'm not an anti-media guy. I'm not one of these guys that sit here and go, like those, you know, guys on radio. Ah, you know, the mainstream media. I know I'm an alternative. I'm alternative media in a sense. And you don't come to me for the news just for questions like, why isn't there a vice pope? But still, this stuff bothers the living daylights out of me. And I have only so many daylights inside of me that are alive. I can't have them be taken out. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of this show. And I'm chronicling. I'm bringing these things to your attention. I hope you're passing them on. So do that. Pass it on. Tell your friends. Stand around. Do people still stand around the water cooler and say these things? Here's some discussion for the water cooler. Yeah, how about the water? When you drink this water, it's the water. How about this? The water is 50 degrees, but when it's going down your throat, it feels like 40. My good friend, first and former partner, second, Tom Savino, Banamiam, will be here shortly, and we'll be talking about what is real and what isn't real. Not what is really stupid, although we might talk about that too. And we've had a lot of contact and exposure with people on this show, guests, who have talked to us about very strange things, paranormal things. Paranormal things. Like paradox. What a paradox. Well, right? What's the joke? Do you know it? Ben Casey and Dr. Kildare, paradox, pair of docs. Okay, so Tom will be here. Thom, Tom will be here. Thanks to the wonderful invention of Skype, and I will be able to see him. You will not. You'll be able to hear him, and that's quite enough. Believe me, for you. How much can you take anyway? We don't want to overload. So this is one of those Savino Cotolo Chronicles, because we're going to chronicle stuff about what. What is real, what isn't real, based on what people question, what they know, mystical experiences, out of body, you know, all sorts of stuff. And it's going to be fun. Don't walk away. Don't worry. Don't think once again about complex conversation. Take out your Cotolo Chronicles notebook and just annotate. Write down little things. Write this down. Do what Dr. Fabianic said. Don't erase it, though. Write it down, and then later on, look it up on your big Google, Yahoo, Yaggle, Google. What if you Yahoo and Google got together? Would it be Yoogle, or would it be Goo-Goo? I don't know. See, this is the way my mind thinks. So this is why when I walk outside, I go, and someone says to me, "How cold is it? Does anybody know the temperature?" And I'm going to say to them, as I have before, you want to know the temperature, or do you want to know what it feels like in this temperature? You know, if you go, did you ever go out shoveling snow or something, or do something, or just stay out in cold for a long time? Because I got to tell you, even if there's no wind, if you're out and it's 21 degrees, even if you're bundled up or what have you, because your face is feeling the cold, let's say it's 21 degrees and you're outside doing some work. I got news for you. If you're out there doing work or just being out there, walking, not walking, even if you're standing there, in a matter of 15, 20 minutes, though it's 21 degrees, it's going to feel like 19, and then it's going to feel like 11. And what happens when you get so cold? What happens to people who freeze to death in temperature? It's five, let's say it's 5 below 0, and a person goes out, right? And what do they tell them? They say it's 5 below 0, and then you could get frostbite or what have you. or whatever, or you could freeze to death. You could die out there. That's true. It can happen. So what if that happens? When does it? It's five. It's minus 5 degrees now. But by the time, but right before you die, because you froze to death, it's gonna feel like minus 263, and it'll kill you. So what's killing you? I give up on all that. We're gonna talk about a bunch of things, and of course, our good pal Tom Savino will be here. He's joined our panel. That comes back now in time and time again. That includes over the next couple of months. Certainly Dr. Woldar will be back, and Dr. Karen Wyatt will be back. Dr. Gary Popley will be back. And tonight, Mr. Savino will be here to talk to us and join in and just actually, you know, it's really, it's teamwork. But they're more guests. But he's joined the panel, and that's why every now and then, as much of the time as we can get, we're going to have the Savino Cotolo Chronicles, and it'll be a lot of fun. So stay with us for that. In the meantime, that little circle is going around on my mouse. In the meantime, what was I going to do? I was going to tell you about a book. Here's a book. Here.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo. Now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Now, you know, there's all this talk about I don't got a Kindle, I got a Bookle, I got a Bingo, they have these other things. I think you go to Book Blasters, and they have some other kind of nookie. I think it's called a Nook, a Book Nook, a Kindle, a Candle, whatever it is you have. But let me assure you this, and this has been the case from the beginning. All of these little, and I'm not saying this because I'm subversive, I'm saying this because it's true, and you can do this, and you should know this. All the little things that they sell you, all the programs and stuff they do, are designed to be specifically for those particular programs. But the point is this, any computer that you have, you can work out changing a file from one way to another. And I'm not saying this either because I know about this stuff. I know nothing about this stuff other than the fact that you can do it. I remember telling everyone when iTunes came out, I remember saying, hey, listen, why are you going to pay 99 cents? You're going to pay 99 cents for the convenience of getting the tune. Okay, but the point is, every computer, it comes with a recording device, and if you could play the thing on your computer, you could make a copy of that thing. I'm not saying that because I want to shirk the copyright laws, because you know, and I know, that Dr. Lawrence Lessig was on here from the beginning, way before you people even knew what to do, way before there were iTunes, eTunes, BTunes, or CTunes. I've been telling you this from the beginning. So the point I'm trying to make here is that if you buy the darn License to Skill, and if you like to read anything and like to laugh, why the hell don't you buy it? Okay, I'm not putting you up against the wall, but I would. I would take you by the collar and just put you up against the wall, because it's only $2.99. Okay, and you to go out and buy your Stephen King for $15.99, or whatever you get, keep Stephen King's maybe $7.99. Always $7.99 if you get an electronic book from Stephen King. Now, I'm not saying Stephen King is bad. I'm just saying Stephen King would be $7.99 because he's Stephen King. And only you buy the hardcover book, and it's what? I don't know what it's. It's the $99.99. What the heck? Because he's Stephen King. So the point is that if you go out, if you like the show, if you listen to the show, whatever you do, you're going to enjoy this. You're going to laugh, and it's only $2.99. Think about that. Think about today, if you're a smoker, what you have to pay if you go anywhere and ask for a pack of cigarettes. I mean, I don't think you can get any pack of cigarettes. 20 cigarettes, 20 little, and I don't know how many puffs. How many puffs do you take in a cigarette? Anyway, I used to take a bunch of puffs. But I mean, and it's according to how big, how long is a cigarette? The thing is that, you know, you buy a carton of cigarettes, it's like it's over, what, it's almost $50? $50? And all you got to do is buy a stupid little book, find a way, if you don't have a Kindle, to take that file and make it into the file you could read. And then you could read it on your iPhone. You could read it on your iTablet, on your iPad, on your iBook, on your iL, your eyes. You read it with your eyes on your eyes. You just read it and get it. But you got an Android, or you got an Apple, or you got an AppDroid, or an Android. I don't care. I don't mind. It's all the same crap, okay? Zeros and ones. So you find out
get it. And I want to thank, first of all, I know I'm being tough on you people who haven't bought it and read it, but because I know you'll enjoy it. That's the only reason I'm saying this. Now he says laugh, learn a little about life. I don't know. That's up to you. You can laugh and learn a little bit about life reading anything. You get a coloring book, you know, and you could laugh and learn and roll about life. I don't know, whatever. I don't know where your head's at in that point. But I'm saying, just all you got to do. I want to thank all the people who have been buying it. They go to Amazon, and they get License to Skill. And you get this now, and I'm telling you, because when this thing's a movie and it's out there, okay, and somebody is literally carrying me to my seat because I'm so old, I can't even walk into the theater myself and sit down, okay, and they bring in the oxygen and stuff. At that point, this stuff's going to be worth a lot of money. So you don't want to do that? Do that. $2.99. I also want to remind you that that means $3. Now you take the other under $10. You take the other $3.99 you have, which is let's round it out to $4.4 and $3.07. Okay, and then you go to blurb.com and you get your digital version of Molotov Memoirs. But what's wrong with you? As Tom Savino used to say to me, but what's wrong with you? Don't you know how to get value, enjoyment, entertainment? Don't you know? Okay, so that's the deal with that. Please go over there and thank all the people who have been buying it, because one of these days, a royalty check will come in, and I'm going to just go. Here he comes. That's him. Is he here already? That's him already. He's already here. There.
I am. Am I early?
No, you're okay. I'm just making everybody guilty, making everybody feel guilty that they don't spend $2.99 to buy my stupid little my book on Amazon. And why don't they do $2.99? And I'm telling them, if they buy both of my books, the digital versions, they're still under $10. And yet if they go out and buy two packs of cigarettes, that's like over $10 now.
Oh my God. That's I had no idea they were that much.
Absolutely. I don't think you can get a pack of cigarettes for like, what, $4.50, $4.60 or something. You know, I know.
They're certainly missing out, definitely. The options are clear. It's a choice, clear choice.
Now, if you really got some money and you like to smoke, get the cigarettes and read the book too. Right?
Absolutely. And cigarettes at that cost, you may as well, you know, just buy marijuana, I guess.
Why, you can get it cheaper than that? Do you know? Well, out there you can, right? In California you can.
Yeah, here it's a wide selection. Even vending machines, they have vending machines for medical marijuana.
I swear, I was at last year when I was working at the Meadowlands in Jersey, and the right near the bar, they have a cigarette machine. Because you remember when you can. Pack. Okay, now that's an extra special place. It's not because, you know, it's always more in the. Remember, it was always more in the vending machines.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. $10. One pack.
$10. Wow.
One pack. $10. You think that.
You need a ton of quarters for that.
I think they.
They take bills now.
Yeah. They take, it's even like, oh God. Remember the old days at the racetrack where they gave out separate tickets?
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's all gone. I mean, you get a computer, you get one ticket, no matter, you could get 30 bets like on one piece of paper.
Wow.
You know, we used to carry those things around, put them in our pockets, and they were different colors for win, play, show and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. And and we were so desperate at picking up the tickets that people left behind for tax write-off.
Stupors. You know, they're called stupors. Do you know that every year?
Oh, stupors.
Yeah, they're called stupors. Every year, there are stupors out there. They go around. They used to. There's not that many people at the racetrack anymore like they used to be. But guys used to go around just picking up all the tickets that people threw away, because inadvertently people will throw away, you know, good tickets. And these people made like a decent amount of money just picking up the trash. So
stupors,
S-T-O-O-P, huh. Stoop, because you stoop down to do it.
Very good. No, not to be confused with.
Don't
the
thank me. I didn't make it up.
Stupors.
No, not stoop. That's something else. The Jewish stupors in Hebrew is what? What is that?
Well, the you know to. Some of my students may be listening, so I want to be, I can't believe somebody, no one ever calls me and my phone is ringing.
Oh, is that your phone? What a weird, what's that ringtone? The Matrix theme to The Matrix?
No, it's like some jungle thing. And I've always had the old fashioned telephone ringtone, even on my cell phone. Mm-hmm. But my hearing has gotten so bad that I can't hear the high tones anymore. So I have to have like bass tones. So there.
That's one of the trials and tribulations of the digital war era, I guess. Well, everybody by now knows, because I told you he was going to be here, and here he is, and we're doing since the return of Tom Savino, we're doing a Savino Cotolo Chronicles this week. You know, the next time we do one, one of the times we do one, we could actually get another person, and you and I can interview, so we could get somebody on. We can. It's not like you're not somebody. I mean, we can get somebody, and then you and I can host and talk to the guest.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. We can do amazing things now here, not just because it's chronicling here, but it's because this amazing technology that we have here. So Tom is here, and Tom brought up a topic, and it just opened up another entire world of thought and absurdity. Or as Tom would say, absurdity, and absurd. The only man who ever pronounced absurd with a Z. I want to mention one thing, Tom. Too, we have a live. There are not many people, but we have a live studio audience here. A couple of people. So they may ask some questions or something. Yell them out. You guys, you could raise your hands, or you can walk over and talk over my shoulder. I have a shortage of mics, But we were going to talk about. Why don't you just tell everybody, even though it was on the blog and everything, tell everybody what you were, what you brought up here that we should talk about.
Okay, this has come up recently in my life. The difference between perception and reality? Now, if you have an experience, you have experienced something, and you know it to be true. And yet people in your life that you may communicate this to will tell you you're either crazy or you're an imaginative person, and you're elaborating on it, and your memory, this happened decades ago, and your memory is coloring it. And it's not probably not the way you're saying it happened. And, so this is a topic that sometimes causes some conflict in relationships. And
well, I would imagine just in general, let me tell you this. We had a guy on, and I'm going to mention his name. I've had a couple of people on here that will, one of them, I'm not even going to mention her name because I don't really want to go back into that again, but I had her on the show, and she wrote a book, and she, I had the book, I looked through the book, I don't know if I'm laughing here, and I was not being, as an interviewer, I got to play the devil's advocate here too, you know, I have to ask things, yeah. You know, well, eventually, she said she'd never be on the show again. I mistreated her, and I mocked her. But here's what she said. I'm still, and I don't know what to do when I hear this. And you tell me, because you've been probably in her position. Okay.
Okay. Good. Good. This sounds good.
Yeah. So she
said. Of course, you can mock me as much as you want. Yeah.
And I will. She.
I'm expecting.
She had this book, and the book was she communicated with people on. I'm going to do air quotes. The other side. All right.
Okay.
And in her book, she talks about what she has chapters. Here's what Elvis Presley said to her. Here's what Frank. Well, I don't know Frank Sinatra. I'm just thinking of dead people. There's so many of them.
There's so many of them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, these people. Here's what. And this. You know, the people span. You know, centuries. All these people, because they're all in the same place. She says. Mm. All right.
right? That's the other side. The other side. Okay. So she told me that, and okay, so that's the book. Now in the book, she has these stories about these people and drawings. Drawings. And they're not even like really good drawings of Elvis. They're like, you know, people drew. Those are the illustrations of the book. Because I guess you can't get pictures. You can get messages and very detailed sentences and paragraphs from people on the other side. So you can put it in a book. But you can't get their pictures. They can't send their pictures off. They don't. Okay. All right. So that's it. Okay, so enough about the artwork. But here's the point. She said to me that when she was young, I said, when did all this stuff happen to you that you suddenly started, you know, getting into this paranormal state? And she said she was in a hotel in San Diego. And she was younger. I don't know. She wasn't like a kid. She was, you know, a teenager or what have you, or maybe she was in her 20s. It doesn't even matter. She was in this hotel, and I went, wow, I've been to that hotel. It's a very famous hotel in San Diego. I just know what's in here. I said, I've been to that hotel. She goes, okay, great. She says, you know where the main ballroom is? And there's a very exclusive restaurant over there. And I went, yes, I know that. She said that she walked into the restaurant and suddenly she had moved through something, whatever, you tell me what it's called, some time portal or something. And suddenly it was 1837 or something. You know, it was, she walked through a time portal, you know. Yeah. In that restaurant, and I was going, and I said to her things like, wow, I couldn't even get a waiter, you know. you like walked through a time portal and went and saw the, and you know, when I brought it up, like, she was so serious that she didn't even take any of that, like it was, she, you know, always felt like I was mocking her when I was just finding a good, okay, I mean, it would probably be true for me. I couldn't get a waiter and she's walking through that. But am I questioning her? Yeah, I am questioning her. She went on with about all this stuff about how she talked. And I said this to her, Tom. I said, let me ask you something. On the other side, if everybody's on the other side, you only, obviously you went, you want to do a book, you're going to talk to celebrities, right? She's going to talk to celebrities. I don't think you talk to Irving, the guy who used to own the grocery store on the corner when I was a kid, or, you know, I guess you didn't, you know, you just talk to celebrities. I said, but what about all the bad guys? I mean, did you see Hitler? I said, did you see Hitler? And if you did, had he shaved?
Because, well, I think that's a very reasonable question.
Because
it's a reasonable question on the Cthulhu Chronicles. You know,
she said, well, things out. And so there, you know, so it would be possible, I said then, that Elvis is walking down whatever there is of a street on the other, whatever, and then he could go, hey, Adolf, how you doing? Because they were working out the same thing. I mean, she gave me the scenario, and she believes in this scenario. I don't know if anybody else believes. I mean, how could she be the only one? Aren't there other paranormal people? 16 paranormal people went to the other side, and 16 different things they saw. You know, and it's always, you ever notice, I had this guy when I was on KVSD in San Diego, when I was doing a show there, had this guy on who swore, he had the books, though. He said to me, he said that, at night, people, dead serious, at night, people, good beings, came to him in his bedroom, and they took him to Mars. And at night, he would go nights to Mars, and he would, they would show him the great big underworld. There's your phone. Because apparently, in Mars, they couldn't take pictures. Again, no pictures. He drew it. He drew it. And he published this book, My Adventures in Mars. Only him. They took him, and he went there. And, and he went there constantly. So he was able to know what the Martians, who decided he, how do you, and another guy I had on who said he was Napoleon, and he wrote a book. It was like 900 pages that in a past life he was Napoleon. And I said to him, I said, let me ask you something. How come everybody who remembers their past life is someone big? Wasn't anybody a short order cook on, in Brooklyn Heights? Well, how come I was reincarnated? I was Napoleon. Who are you? I was George Patton. You know, I was, what? Yeah. And so, there's so much is what I'm saying, and I'm asking you now. There's so much stuff going around, A, that is phony, B, is not phony. We don't know. I'm not even questioning if it's real. I'm just questioning How come there's no common thread? How come this is all such random? Throw it on the wall and see if it sticks. Everywhere and why do these people get mad at me if I take it so lightly? Now, those are the questions you have to address now.
Okay, well, the people who get angry with you about it, first of all, they're probably not familiar with your show. if they were familiar with your show, they'd say, hey, I'm going to come on the show and say what I have to say or plug my book, but I'm going to be mocked. No, seriously, you know.
So it's just me? You're saying it's just me?
No, I'm not saying that. It's like an example of what, just to answer that last part of your question first, Colbert, you know, the Colbert report, mm-hmm. You've seen that show.
Sure.
I don't think he's ever done a real interview with somebody. You know, it's always poking fun at them and just joking around.
Because he's playing a character. That's his character. Yeah. He even says it. Okay.
That's right. But even if you're, you know, even if you're not playing a character, even if you're, like you, if you just are a character, then, you know, these people who, they probably had no idea what your show was about. I can't imagine them coming, being familiar with your show and joking around and quipping and so on and so forth, and then be offended if you make quips like that. So you certainly mock me. But now, the reincarnation thing, that's always bothered me too. When I've heard people say, "Oh, I'm you know Cleopatra and this, you know, so on and so forth."
And then you know, if 10 women, and sometimes it's not even women, if 10 people mm-hmm. say they were Cleopatra, how many times does she get to come back?
Yeah. No, I mean,
well, the real definitely... Cleopatra reincarnate, please stand up.
Do the math, you know, this popular phrase these days. So yeah, that's always bothered me, and I've always had a little skepticism about some of these things. But even last time I was on your show, I was talking about experiences that were
paranormal.
I would say supernatural, but they were
paranormal,
and we have not been in great close touch with each other for these many years. Like you said last time, it was 38 years since we were together on a show like this, you know. Mm-hmm. But I've had some experiences since. I've had some training in shamanism, which has kind of opened up some things that in retrospect, I'm not so sure I should have opened up, you know.
Well, explain to anybody who doesn't know what shaman, what is shaman? This is not the toilet paper.
No, please, you can squeeze this shaman as much as you want. It's okay. I'm looking for hugs and things.
What is shaman?
Only very old people will get that.
S-H-A-R. Hey, remember the guy used to criticize us because we laughed when we were talking?
Yes,
yeah.
And we're doing it again, and Lord knows where
it is. Yeah, who cares? Go ahead, shaman, S-H-A-M-I-N-A-N-E-N, what is it?
S-H-A-M-I-N.
Okay.
Some people say shaman, but I'm ashamed to say that, I say shaman. You say shaman.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Let's take off all our clothes.
You know, I'd still do that to people. I still say, I do that when they have a thing like that, and I just sit there and I sing. You say tomato, I say tomato. You say potato, I say potato. Tomato, tomato, potato, potato. Let's take off all our clothes. That was our version. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. Shaman, whatever. What?
Yeah.
What? What is it?
I'll give you a little background first, all right? Mm-hmm. So you know that I've, for decades, been into meditation mm-hmm. and kind of seeking what's the right thing for me? What's the right meditation? So I got involved with a group that were Bon, pronounced Bon, from Tibet. It's a combination of Buddhism and shamanism. In fact, the person who introduced Buddhism to Tibet, Padmasambhava, was wise enough to realize that he was not going to get anywhere with spreading Buddhism unless he incorporated shamanism into the teachings of, because the people were so rooted in shamanism.
That's what happened to the Chinese. When the Chinese brought Buddhism over to Japan in the beginning, that was the same thing. They had to make some kind of they had to negotiate or something.
Yeah, like the cultural, you know, yeah, absolutely. So the Bon Buddhism was a combination of shamanism and Buddhism. And I went to teaching in Los Angeles here by Tenzin Wangyo Rinpoche, and he is a Bon practitioner.
Is that his real name? And,
yes.
Say it again slowly.
Tenzin, T-E-N-Z-I-N, Wangyal, W-A-N-G-Y-A-L, and Rinpoche just means precious one.
Because people write these things down, like Dr. Fablianic. They write these down, and then they look it up.
Quick.
And then they look it up later. So there's that name.
Good.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, good. I'm glad you have.
Yeah, you know, because I always tell people, you know, you can't annotate everything. I mean, I can't annotate everything I say. So they write it down in their Chronicles notebook, and then they look it up later. So that's why I may ask you to spell things and stuff like that.
Okay, very good. Okay. Tenzin Wangyal Rinpoche. You could find a lot about him. So I went to the teachings. It's one thing that the shamans already had belief in what's known as Dzogchen. Dzogchen is an arm or branch or whatever you want to call it of Buddhism, where the premise is that we are all perfect already, and we are just sort of clouding that our perfection, and the practices will lead us to clearing these obscurations and so that we can see our true nature, of Buddha nature, if you're Buddhist, but if you're in the Bon tradition, it's our true nature, pre-Buddhism. But if they held the same belief even before Buddhism came to Tibet. That was part of the shaman thing. Well, so I got involved with this group, and I went to their retreats and everything. Now, one of the practitioners, I was very attracted to as a person, and she's not physically. So she's physically attractive, but that's not where we're going with this.
You painted yourself into a corner right there. The minute you use the word attraction, it's like, you know, okay, go ahead. So you learn this stuff well enough to teach it, is what you're getting out of here?
Yes. So this practitioner, anyway, it turns out that this practitioner is a psychotherapist. And we got to know each other a little bit, and I said, look, you know, is it appropriate? You're part of the Sangha. Sangha, for those who don't know, it just means like parishioners or part of the group that holds the same belief and part of the group that meets regularly to practice the Sangha. She was part of the Sangha, and I said, well, you know, you're a psychotherapist, and I need psychotherapy.
As do all shamans at one point or another.
So she became a psychotherapist. I went to see her. And she's a Jungian psychotherapist.
Ah, Jungian. Carl Jung. That's J-U-N-G, my friends.
Yes. She's a Jungian therapist. And anyway, I knew her for years. I saw her as a therapist for years. And then I stopped seeing her as a therapist. But we saw her in the Sangha.
Okay. Yeah.
And lo and behold, she...
It has that melodic rhythm, what you're saying with all these words. It just has a melodic rhythm. Go ahead.
We could probably a nice rap with this. Yeah. She put out a flyer to not the whole world, but people she knows, of which I was one.
You know. That would have been expensive, man. That would have been too expensive. Flying for the whole world now. I need a lot of planes and I need a lot of copies.
And then dropping the flyers.
Go ahead.
France, and war-torn France. So anyway, she said that she was embarking on a a teaching practice, a five-year commitment to teaching shamanism. It was, you had to commit for 5 years. The group, those who, there was a limited group, you know, you could only have 12 people and so on and so forth. That interested me. It sounded great. And since I knew that, you know, a lot of the bone practices I was already doing were rooted in shamanism, very ritualistic practices. And one thing about Tenzin Wangyal Rinpoche, that
sounds like a law firm.
Yes. And it's to that, Tenzin Wangyal Rinpoche and Schwartz.
Go ahead.
And they represent a lot of stupors, as a matter of fact. Tenzin Wangyal Rinpoche mentions to his people, as he should, as he's teaching bone practices, that, oh, this particular, and he'd just say it like casually. He would say like, yeah, well, you know, when you do this, make sure you, you know, protect yourself from the spirits and the, and most of the people there, including myself in the beginning, looked at each other and said, now, when you say spirits, do you mean literally talking about spirits? You know, yes. And he said, yes, I'm literally talking about spirits. It's not some symbolic thing, spirit. I'm talking about demons, spirits. He spoke about demons. Uh-huh. And so now, I was talking to some of the other people that had been part of the Sangha before, because I had problems with that, you know, and they said, look, just forget about the demons and the spirits, but the practices are to lead you to your Buddha nature, so just focus on that and get out of your head with the demons and the spirits, like, you know, don't reject the teachings.
So there are people there who were saying, look, they're actually saying this. Look, listen to what this guy says. When he brings this spirit stuff up and demon stuff, just forget about it. Is that what you're saying?
To a degree, that's what they were saying. You know, they're saying, look, we've been practicing this stuff for years, and it's bringing me great. You know, my life is much better. I relate to people better.
And they've never seen a demon.
I don't believe in the demons and the things. When Rinpoche talks about that, I just sort of disavow it, you know.
Okay.
And I was kind of there for a while, but then when this person, I don't want to mention her name.
No, anyway, don't mention names.
She was starting the group of teaching shamanism. I said, wow, this, I'm really interested. I want to do this. And we were going to meet for 2 weeks a year in retreat, right on the borderline between the United States and Mexico, in the desert, in the United States. And we were going to meet there 2 weeks a year for intensive shaman training. And we did. And this group is still going on. They have another year and a half, I think, to wrap up the 5 years. I stopped last year, about a year ago, I stopped.
You have less than a year and a half to get to where you're going. It's like, what, are you heading us towards a demon story?
There's lots of strange things happened since this time. Well, first of all, this psychotherapist who I'd been seeing, announces at the first retreat, you know, how she got involved with why she's teaching this and how she got involved. And it's because Mary Magdalene, she met Mary Magdalene and has been kind of ordered by Mary Magdalene to teach certain things and teach about Mary Magdalene in France. And, and I'm listening to this and I'm saying, wow, this is like kind of out there, you know.
Yeah,
God. This is kind of out there stuff. I'll cut to the chase so don't lose more numbers of your audience. What made me quit, I quit last year, was I got to a point where in my classroom in Sun Valley teaching English, okay, mm-hmm. and a chaotic high school classroom, the kids are like handing papers and there's like 33 people in the class and they're giving me papers in the middle of a class. And right in that whole process, I see like I'm right now, I'm looking at my monitor. I could see my monitor in my mind's eye. Okay. I see this gangster looking guy, like a cholo kind of guy, wear white t-shirt, short guy, dark skin.
And he's like a Mexican thug, you mean?
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, he was a Mexican thug.
But no specific. It wasn't like what's his name? It wasn't a famous Mexican thug.
No, it was just no. So I'm collecting papers from these kids, and this one girl comes up, and this I don't know image, spirit, whatever you. I don't know. I don't even know. It was in my mind's eye. This guy says to me, "Hey, tell her stop praying." Stop praying to the crucifix. She could still pray to Christ. She could still pray to Christ, and she could still wear a cross, but not a crucifix. Tell her that. And he said, "I'm Alfonso."
Okay, so now let's get this straight.
Okay, yeah.
In your mind's eye, you see this picture, but you said he said to you.
Yeah, okay.
Did he say it in like letters that you saw in your head, or did he talk as that in the mind's eye, or did you actually hear this in your head?
Okay, this was unlike the last month when I was talking about the one and only time I actually heard voices. This experience was not. I did not hear any voice. It was telepathic. Okay, he's talking to me telepathically, mm-hmm. And says, tell her, this is Alfonso. And so she's handing me papers. And I say, do you know a short, chol-looking guy named Alfonso? And she almost became a spirit there. You know? She said, yeah. I said, well, I don't know. He says, stop praying in a crucifix. And she was like really taken aback because I found out later when the class ended and she came to talk to me that she and her sister had been having this ongoing argument about, is it appropriate to pray? The crucifix is so creepy. Christ is on the crucifix. It shows him in a victimized position when he's an all-powerful person. Maybe we should just, you know. Anyway, I said, so who's Alfonso? And she said, it's my cousin who died a few years, 2 years ago. So that experience, to be honest, when that happened last year, it was last year, but when I quit the group, it was like I felt that I'm not psychologically ready to handle these messages.
Okay, so let's get to real and unreal. Back to you. That was real? I mean, it really happened to you.
But yes.
Was that was real?
That's real. See, that happened to me.
So that means that when you say that happened to you, that immediately opens up the entire floodgates that of there are spirits exist, there are people, dead people walk around and tell teachers or anybody, or they're just walking among us, we can't see them. This is like it's a form of, in any possible way, a quantum physics of some sort, that there are these dimensions and, you know, because now they're studying parallel universes that might. But I mean, that opens up everything.
Yes, yes, it certainly does.
Okay, well, once you open up everything, you have to ask one question. This is the question I always ask, and I ask it. I ask clerics and people I've met and people I've worked, priests or reverends, and it's like, who's right? Why are there so many? Again, why are there so many different approaches to what is obviously, to people who believe it, the same thing?
Oh, yeah. You're asking a great question. which is part of why I quit the group, and I'm kind of not affiliated. I'm no longer affiliated with any particular group anymore, because I ask myself the same question. And I come from even a different perspective, because I've had experiences, you know, and I can't deny that these things have happened and that there are these realms, but it bothered me, like, but who do I, you know, who's right? You know, exactly. Like, is there a right? And if there isn't a right, why are there so many different things, you know?
We got Tom Savino here with me, Frank Cotolo. Sometimes I said Savino Cotolo, sometimes I said Cotolo Savino, but when we were together doing, you know, I was trying to think of the name of the station where we did Dead Air Live on Monday nights. What was the name of that station in New York? The following is presented by the producers and the sponsors. What was the name of that station?
HBI?
Oh yeah, I guess that was it. Was that HBI? Or was HBI the? Yeah, okay. I don't know. It didn't ring any bells. But in any event, in all of our instances, certainly in this event, we're at the top of the second hour here. Now we're not going to go to Matthew McConaughey telling you that you should go to the Peace Corps. We're going to just continue because we're wordy, and we want to get into this as much as we can. Tom Savino is with me. He's currently a school teacher and teaches English in Southern California.
Yeah, at Poly High School. I have to mention them.
Poly High School. Hello to everyone. What do we say? Shout out. That's the new thing.
Shout out. Yeah, and last month I promised Alondra Morales a shout out, which I just gave her. I hope you enjoyed that, Alondra.
Alondra
Morales.
Morales. That's what I love about, especially the one thing I loved about California. I love a lot of things about California, but the thing I really miss is the whole Spanish influence all the way up the coast and down the coast. It's such a wonderful thing. I always want to put on, you know, I want to get a black horse and put on a mask and ride around like Zorro. You know, last week I did a lot. This whole thing using this old copy, this not that old, 2009 copy of LA Weekly. You still have that out there, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, LA Weekly is still here. Yeah.
And I was talking about all the groups and all the people in entertainers from 2009 who the immense number of failures, you know, the people who don't make it in the world. Groups,
yeah.
You know, groups, actors, comedians and stuff like that. And I wanted to share this with you. You know, the greatest name for a group I ever heard in my life. And this is like every time I read it, I wrote it down because there are all these groups there, and it's amazing. How many clubs there are out there for people, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And imagine these are the groups you can go and see. These aren't the spirit groups.
Yeah.
You can imagine how crowded it is in these clubs. But listen to the name of this group. Every time I hear it. Okay, you ready? I got to try and say it without laughing. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine. Who wouldn't go see Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine?
You know, that's a memorable name, actually.
Yeah, where are they now, huh? I guess they did. Jello Biafra.
And the Guantanamo
School of Medicine. That's better than SpongeBob SquarePants, I think.
Yeah.
So now we're talking. Well, let's get back to this now. I just wanted to mention that because I knew you'd get a laugh out of that. And I still want to know, as I said at the top of the show, maybe the spirit can tell us why when it's 33 degrees out, it feels like 26. Why isn't it just 26? I don't get this.
I suppose we can ask one of them.
Now, people used to say that to me too. People from in various areas of psycho. I don't say psycho. I don't mean the psycho. I mean in terms of that paranormal stuff. They used to say things like, "If you really want, you know, you could call a spirit. You could, you know, we've all, you know, the premise of the spirit that gets into." Reagan in The Exorcist is because she goes through a Ouija board, and you used to love Ouija boards.
Yeah, I have to say, if anybody's thinking about it, don't do it.
Don't use a Ouija board.
I would recommend, from what I know now, I mean, you know, even though I quit being part of the group, I've had these experiences, and I know them to be true. And I said, it's a thing you shouldn't mess around with.
But there's not going to be any political controversy over Ouija board control, is there?
No.
Ouija boards don't kill people. Spirits. Spirits. Can spirits kill? No. What did you learn about spirits after that? Did you look up? I know you. You probably read books and stuff like that, or you didn't want to get in touch with another one, and you certainly didn't send Alonzo a birthday card.
No.
But yeah. Did you read more about it? Did you find any thread of stuff? Are there spirits that people who think spirits are real? What do they do?
I got to tell you that the group I was involved with, this experience was just a totally ordinary experience for them. There are many people. One of the women in the group worked and probably still does at USC Medical Center. The reason she got involved was because she routinely sees dead people at USC, and those aren't the patients who just died. But actually, they are the patients who just died, but not, I don't mean like laying there on a gurney. I mean, she sees them walking around.
We seem to have to look at this. Let's forget about paranormal state of mind or soul or body. Let's think about, weren't there times, and you know this, because it's happened to you, it's happened to everybody. Aren't there times, and I'll give you a specific time and a specific thing, and I still can't believe this was a message sent from anywhere. Aren't there times when you pick up stuff and you don't know where it comes from and you're right about it? Right? Aren't there things like that?
I don't quite know what you're saying.
Well, I mean, you knew specifically Alonzo.
Alfonso.
Alfonso. Aren't there – I'll give you an example. I'm driving home from somewhere, and I was going to my home out here in Pennsylvania. And while I'm driving by this, convenience mart, something tells me – again, I don't see it. There's not a spirit in nothing. Something says, go play 126. It just comes to my head.
Yeah.
And they have the lotteries, right? So I for some reason or another, that day I stop. And I go in. I buy a ticket for – I buy a straight ticket. And then it was like a jerk. I box it. It's like, you know, I mean, this crazy thing I got, but I box just in case, you know, just in case I didn't hear it right. That's stupid. I'm thinking to myself. Well, anyway, I did cash both of them because the number that night was 126.
Wow.
Now, how do I step? Now, I didn't go home and say, you know what? I got to start thinking about things because I could probably pick up a whole bunch of junk here. I mean, and that happens to everyone.
Yes, it does. How many times have this has happened to me where I just know I'm watching a baseball game on TV. I know the next pitch is a home run. I know it.
So how do we separate these things?
Well, you know, we mentioned Carl Jung and, he calls it synchronicity. If the people who are writing things down, Carl Jung's theory of synchronicity. And he says that energy, there's one thing you cannot destroy is energy, but you can transmute it. And his theory of synchronicity is very related to the quantum physics. His theory is that the things can happen that seem coincidental, but it's not in the realm of cause and effect, but it is in the realm of energy. And beyond the time, what's that word I'm looking for? The continuum. And these things that seem coincidence or paranormal or whatever, they can happen. And I think your experience with the 126 and my knowing the next guy, the next pitch is a home run, and I'm sure everybody has had experiences like this. It does fit in line with his theory of synchronicity.
So it's not spirits just running around, and they go, hey, let's tap this guy, because I think there's a one, he deserves a 1-2-6 tonight. I need to tap this guy on the head here, and then they fly by to some other place. Or, I mean,
well, I mean, it's not yet. We don't know that much about that kind of stuff yet to where we could be that detailed.
Yet. I wonder how we're going. That's a good point you bring up. How are we ever going to get to the bottom of any of this junk?
There is, for those who are listening who would say my story about Alfonso, like so many people who I've mentioned this to tell me, oh, you were probably on drugs, or you were hallucinating, or you were this or that and the other. There is an organization called the Institute of Noetic Sciences, IONS, the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and they've been around for a couple of decades at least. And it was started by an astronaut who he orbited the moon, but he didn't land on the moon, but. And it changed his whole life, the experience of orbiting in space. And he started the Institute of Noetic Sciences. Now, they do scientific experiments to kind of measure these paranormal things. They're trying to get to the – they haven't yet, you know, they're trying to. And they have many experiments that most people say, wow, I'm shocked to know that. Like prayer, you know, they've done many experiments on prayer.
Sure, there are groups, aren't there groups that get together? I know one guy wanted me to join a group where they get together in these, places. I don't know, they drink tea or whatever it is. I don't know why they can't. Why isn't there alcoholic beverages allowed in these places where they have these spiritual meetings? Anyway, they get together and they say, look, we're going to pray for the end of, IEDs or whatever. We're going to pray, and they feel that this energy of combined prayer, the more the merrier, strength in numbers, that stuff, it's going to send the energy out there. And then, none of these things ever happen. I mean, they never work.
Well, according to the Institute of Noetic Sciences, when they have done experiments with praying for, and they have like different groups. They have praying by people who know the person they're praying for. And these are like healing things. We're going to heal this guy. They've done experiments with people who know the victim or the person who needs to be healed. And they've done experiments with people who don't know the person or anything about the person. And they seem to have some, they have lengthy written studies that you could read about this.
We also have to separate the fact that some of this stuff is psychotic. For instance, are we to believe that a demon got into the head of Charlie Manson and said, you know what those Beatle boys are singing about in Helter Skelter? It's about time. I mean, think about this. What a conspiracy this is going on here. The bad spirits had to get to Paul McCartney somewhere along the line and tell him to use these two, tell him to do this. And then, so he had to be infiltrated in order to be able to sit down and do a creative piece that eventually would get to Charlie Manson, who would say, hey, now I'm getting the message. Isn't it great? And then that demon would tell him, see what, and he'd go, that's what they're listening to. So that's it. And he goes, well, obviously this means, and this actually finding out his thought pattern is how they convicted him of this. Which is amazing. And he said, this is a message from me sent through the Beatles. It says there's going to be a race war, and we have to be on the side of the people who want to be free. In that case, we're going to go to Jay Sebring's house and murder people. And is he just not getting the message correctly? Or in other words, and if they're so gosh darn powerful, why don't they just do it? Why do they have to fly through people's heads and go into and let's look at the degrees of separation between a guy named Charlie Manson who was in California and the Beatles. There's years even between. I mean, it's absurd. How do we separate that from somebody who might actually be hearing from a spirit who decides to get you And yeah. I could even make a case for you, because that guy who knew that kid in your class obviously said, I'll go to an authority figure to tell her this, because he teaches her, so I'll have him tell her. Now, I could, okay, we want to buy that. Yeah. We could buy it that way. I don't know why, if he's so powerful and he could do this stuff, he doesn't just go to her, appear or say something like, stop with the crucifix. I mean, why is this so convoluted?
Well, now,
real and unreal. It's too
convoluted.
I'm
going to give you an answer to that question, good. But the answer is, this is what my group would say, the group I had been involved with that I stopped last year. They would say, listen, we've been in training for 2.5 years. We're opening up. We are becoming vessels. Shaman is a vessel for these messages, where we could get and give messages. So their answer to that, the scenario that I presented, would be, I was open. You know, I'm 2.5 years of secret Qigong movements and all this, and living a certain way. And
right. Rules come into play here.
Yes. Which is another reason I quit.
But wait a second, before you go on, the shrink, and obviously even all the people who came from Freud, who are all the people who we know, the youngs and the olds or whatever, what you're talking about and what I was talking about with Charles Manson is commonly known as psychosis.
Yes.
I'm getting messages from out there that are coming to me and telling me to do things. This is not something that the world of psychology looks upon. So how could somebody be a psychologist and then be a shaman and then go, hey, I'm getting messages now? I mean, what's the difference between the guy who thought, look, you know, this is another thing too. Some guy I had on the show, I'm not going to mention his name either, who said that, I don't know, it was just this hideous thing that he saw with his parents and stuff, and then, but you know, he firmly believed in ghosts and stuff like that, okay? But the thing about the demons is this, if you talk to somebody who's religious, and if somebody religious is every bit the shaman, because they believe in, right? I mean, what are saints?
Yeah.
And they, okay, they're all. So you talk to one of these people, and they talk to you about the man who walked on the water. Let's just go all the way. Guy came back from the dead, bang, 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 all this stuff, the saints, heaven, earth, and everything, right? And then you tell them, that same person who believes in all that stuff says to me, how about that Son of Sam guy? Was he crazy thinking the devil got into a dog and told him something? And I'm going,
okay,
why is that crazy? Listen, you're telling me, listen to what you're saying, and you believe that. What's so crazy about a guy who thinks the devil came to a dog and the dog told them to go out and murder people who hug each other on Belt Parkway? I don't get it.
I'm going to give you this is not my answer. Leave me out of this. Just leave me out of this.
Well, I mean, you have more experience, because all the messages I've gotten.
I'm going to give you the answer like what my group would say about
go,
that.
Go.
That there are spirits that want to cause harm. But
why? And let's just go, talk for them. I know this isn't you. I'm leaving you out of this. You talk for them. Why? Why do they want to do harm? What's their motivation?
Well, it simply put, in a psychological sense, they have never cleared the karma. I mean, they're fucked up. They were fucked up people.
So what? And so now they're screwed up spirits.
They haven't cleared this fucked upness. Mm-hmm. And some of them think they're not dead, you know, and they're just continuing being who they are,
mm-hmm.
and want to get a kick out of seeing things messed up.
So they can't get to the other side. Is there another side then? Do they be people say, like, I'm traveling? You remember all the stuff in Poltergeist, all the lost souls, because they can't get to the other side?
Yes.
So there is another side.
There is
a side where Hitler has shaved.
There are souls out there that have not come to terms with, with their own death, and they're still searching. Now, what is your what's your position on reincarnation? How do you buy it or not? Or
I, you know, my position, it's the same thing with UFOs. I've just come to believe this, and this is my bottom line for all of this.
Okay.
It's this, and I've had talks with. This is based on things that nobody could tell me. I've gone to again priests, things around like that, and say, why is this such a mystery? And when it comes to the God that everyone believes in, and that, of course, goes to the that's the top of the rung here for all this stuff. Because the soul's out there, and this and all this stuff is going on, all right? I don't see any of it. I'm not invited. I want to know why we can't see it, why it can't happen. Why does it have to be such a – why do we have to be such detectives when it comes to all of any of this stuff? They say, you know what? You know what they do? That's where the faith card comes from. I didn't intend to get into religion, but isn't that the fact? They say, well, you might not know, but you have to have faith, which is means just means you have to believe in something that, you know, you that you can't see. And I'm going like, well, why can't you? What is the big deal? If God, I mean, you know, it's like, God, now listen here, I'll tell you something I did, Tom, at a point of great depression and destitute. I went into my backyard. And I said, okay, if there's a devil, if there, whoever you are, come on, come and get me because I'm ready. I just called upon every bad spirit in the world. Come and get me. Show me what's going on. And what? There's a group of people who handle the devil, and his agent goes, no, don't go, because that's not what we do. We don't go right. We don't make personal appearances. You know, it's like, don't do it. Don't take him. That'll show him. What? Why can't it just happen in the early? Think about all the writings in the first part of the Bible in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
All he does is talk. He talks to people. He talks to Moses. He goes around. He tells me, "Hey, I got an idea." One day he wakes up. Hey, Abraham, why don't you kill your son and see if show him, prove to me you love me? And he's like, you know, why was he so present? Was all this stuff going on? That makes more sense to me, though, because if he's there and he did it and it's a he or whatever, why don't we just why do we have to play these games? This is stupid. A reincarnation. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. My thing. I don't know. You know, people say I've seen UFOs. Well, I have too. They're called unidentified flying objects. Doesn't mean I saw a flying saucer and it comes from Mars. Yeah. I don't know. It's just something. I saw it. Why? And that's another thing. All the people go crazy about UFOs, the UFO conspirators. Government's holding all this stuff with UFOs. You know, it's like, what? You know, what's with these aliens? Show up. I mean, it's like, what's the big freaking deal here? What are you trying to do? Protect protect the world of science fiction? there's no sense, and shouldn't it make sense? We're not, you know, we're living, smart human beings. And we walk around, look at what we've done. Look at the tech. Look at what we've done. Look around you. All that is amazing to me. Now I got to believe, the big thing is if you could break through that, if you could walk into that hotel and go to 1837, what? Why? It's not worth it, is what I'm saying. It's not worth all that energy.
Even though I've had these experiences, even though I know that these things have happened and they exist and all that. I wrestling with the same
you
question.
You know, they exist. What's no?
So what do I do with all this stuff?
You know they exist, he said. I know. What does that mean? I mean, is this like a feeling?
Well, I've had experiences with
But I've had weird experiences, but I don't know. I mean, why do I still question? My father came to me in a dream once and he told me something and I did it. I did exactly what he told me, and it was exactly what I was supposed to do. Now, I have a friend who says, well, that was your father's voice. Hey, they come to you when you're sleeping. Like, great, Dad, you know, give me a freaking break. Come for me at dinner. You got something to tell me? I'm up. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm open.
Are you upset that he disturbed your sleep? I mean, what?
So I don't get it. What is this game of drama between the other side and here? It's stupid. It's idiocy.
I don't get it either. I mean, I've had experiences, when a person says he's Alfonso and then, it turns out to be real. Or I learned how to read energy from jewelry and I got this whole scenario, you know, it was Matilda, the name Matilda comes up, you know, and it's like, oh my God, that's my best friend. You know, it's like, I don't know how to explain these things.
Well, but you don't take
even though I've done these things, like people would say, but how did you do that? One of the things I learned in the shamanic group is you get out of your own, way. Your ego person, just get out of the way. So that's what they mean when they say you become a vessel. You're just sort of an empty, an empty vase or something like that, where these things could come through.
I've read and certainly, because you know all the Zen stuff that we went through and younger, and we know all the stuff, and we've read all the books, and all that stuff is very concrete to me, even though it tends to lend itself to some spiritual matters, but it's not this phantasmagorical stuff. It's not this stuff that it's like, I don't know how to use it. I don't know. These are my three most important words in my life. I don't know. And yet, now some people would say, or the shamans would say, well, there you are. Close the door right there. And that's the voice they would use, too. Oh, there you are. I always do these characters. I can't help it. Well, there you are. You closed yourself. Everybody's got a stinking excuse, you know, for all this stuff. And I'm saying, look, I deserve it. I'm a human being. If I am a creature of God, if I am a creature, and I'm going to wind up with these schmoes out there in the middle of nowhere, then give me, why? Why? And, you know, we're smart enough, and we deserve it. If there's a God, and all this stuff is going on, I think they're doing us a disservice. We deserve to know why. We don't deserve to have, we shouldn't have to go out and look for it.
Well, that's why I'm on your show.
Now we have the reason.
That's why I'm here.
We've discussed. Now, are we
now,
for
all? You said, you know, the return of Tom Savino. I just want to make sure that everybody knows. Maybe return, but there's no refund, so forget it.
Do you, are we? And wouldn't it be great? I'm sitting here and I'm going like, well, have we even by talking about this and maybe laughing about it or not caring about stuff like around me? Am I supposed to be feeling? Are they all around me? Are they here now? Is that real?
Well, They are.
They are around me. So you know that. And in a deeper sense of yourself.
Yeah. I mean, let me say that my teachers of the shaman group, there were two teachers. The one was the therapist, the Jungian therapist. The other was a curandera, I guess you would say that, from Mexico.
I guess I would say that. I would say curandera. Yes, I guess that's what I'd say.
She's lived her life that way since she was a teenager, and she was with the other teacher. She's in Mexico City. And when we had practices out in the desert there, one of the practices was calling in our ancestors to make peace with our ancestors. And she saw so many of our dead ancestors in the room. She says, you know, I can't verify that. But then again, I spoke to Alfonso, so I can't, you know, so.
Well, he spoke to you. You didn't speak to him.
That's true.
If you started a conversation.
I didn't speak to him at all.
So then you couldn't even have a conversation with him. He said, wait a second, Alfonso, don't go away. Right?
The whole thing was so weird because I was so busy. You know, I was not like in a trance state. I wasn't meditating. I wasn't anything like that. I was collecting papers, you know, but you know, that was just strange. So I was not, you know, I was too busy to talk to him anyway.
Was he a graduate? Was he a grad? You don't know anything about him then, do you? She could tell.
I know that he was the cousin of that girl, and that he was a gangster, and that he was killed.
And he couldn't get better clothes on the other side either, you know? So he's still walking around, probably like a thug, just like, you know. You could laugh about the Hitler thing, but let's face it, you know? If there's another side and everybody's working things out on one other side, there's no heaven, there's no hell. There's just this other side where they're working things. What are they working it out for? Are they coming back with the with different souls coming into other play or what? Now, isn't it, you see, again, it just pisses me off. That
now you've a good segue into karma, okay? Into karma. And that therapist who ran the shamanic group, when I was, when she was seeing me in therapy, she hypnotized me into a past, into one of my past lives.
Oh, how many have you had, do you know?
I know of two, but the guy who was the guy they call the Buddha said there, he realized thousands of them, you know, I don't know. But
apparently we don't take memory with us. We start all over again, right? That's tabula rasa. We start with a clean slate.
Yes, but I've always had an issue, and you probably know that I've had an issue with drowning or near drowning, and one of my past lives, the most recent one in the 1800s, I drowned in a. I was a merchant marine, and I drowned.
Not a very good one, my either. Not a very good
one. And
this
is my thing. I wasn't on a Titanic or anything. It was just some schleppy merchant ship, and it went down, and I drowned. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you the past life that from which I got from hypnosis. Now, that's an interesting thing, because here's...
Now, you're going into the Brody Murphy area. You know about Brody Murphy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is kind of similar to that.
Yeah, except that was a hoax.
I haven't heard.
Everybody out there who doesn't know about Brody Murphy, and boy, what a time to talk about Brody Murphy, since, of course, what's coming up is St. Patrick's Day. Brody Murphy was this young child who suddenly knew a tremendous amount, for no reason, she was very young, about this little town in Ireland somewhere, and she could describe houses. She knew people who lived there, and later on in life, this stuff came up under hypnosis. And here's Brody Murphy, he's looking at this, and scientists and doctors and all the people who do this kind of stuff said, we have found the example, the proof of reincarnation, okay? And then one of the people in the group said, before we go through with this, let's look at who she was as a little girl. Can we go back to where she was as a little girl? Because he was a psychoanalyst. And they found out that when she was very young, too young to really comprehend a lot of the stuff that she was talking about, she lived next door to some lady who was an old Irish person, who lived in that particular area in the world and used to tell the little girl all these stories. This is testament to the power of the brain. And one of the things I don't like about all this hocus pocus is that we don't give the human brain, which we don't use anywhere near its capacity, as far as anyone knows, correct, I think, remember the part? Did you see Defending Your Life with the Albert Brooks?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. Well, remember when Rip Torn tells him, because Rip Torn is working in that transformation place, and he tells him that, how much of your brain you use? Because I use 86% of my brain. Do you know how much of your brain you use? And Albert Brooks goes, 26. He goes, 3. And Albert Brooks is like, wow. He said, my 3% is swirling. It's like and the point is, this is all about fear. It's all about getting smarter, is what Albert Brooks, was what Rip Torn says to him. These transformations, all this movement through universe and spirits, it's all about getting smarter. We got this brain. So here's a brain that was working, but it did not know how to translate, like all brains do. We're taking in all this information constantly, stuff we don't even realize we're taking in, even at our ages and stuff. Stuff is coming in, and so this was a little girl who was told all these stories. Later on in life, she remembers it to such detail. see, this quantum of information that she has. And they think, and then they find out, oh, that's I guess it's not, I guess it wasn't a past life after all. Yeah. A lot of mm-hmm. things that we know or that we find out and put together, because parts of our brain that we're not in touch with while we're conscious are shooting out all these thoughts and ideas, or they get through. These are electromagnetic things and, you know, all the crap that is real. That stuff mm-hmm. is real. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, So, past life. You get under hypnosis. How do we know you're not going? How do they? We know these people aren't going into some part, and you're putting together, you're concocting all this story that you read yes. or somewhere or something happened, because they're getting to another part of your consciousness that you subconsciousness, and so yes. your brain is putting it together like it puts together dreams.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally agree with what you're saying.
Okay.
And even though I was. You know, went back to a past life that made tremendous sense. It made that past life that I went back to in hypnosis made tremendous sense in regard to what I was experiencing in this life and like the things I need to learn and resolve in this life. But I can't say for certain. I could have made that up entirely, like I make up a dream or however dreams are made, you know. That is true. I don't know. I do not know.
See, there's the three important words now. See, I don't know. Now, now I could accept, and that's what I'm saying. I accept the possibility.
But, see, here's the thing. I do know that I saw in my mind's eye this guy Alfonso. See, that's, we're getting
I
back
see
to
lots
the
of things
theme of the show. It's like, I don't know if that past life scenario that I was under hypnosis, I really don't know if I was that person.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it certainly shed light on things I was experiencing in this life that supposedly I need to correct or resolve in this life, karmically speaking. And like the life of the drowned merchant marine, I still have issues with drowning and so forth, you know. But those things I don't know. But I do know that I've had the experience of the Alfonso experience and the Matilda experience, and you know that I know, and that's the hearing the voice that said the Eight of Diamonds will figure prominently this evening. Oh, did I tell you that? Maybe I didn't tell you that story.
No, why does that sound so familiar? Did you tell me that before?
The Eight of Diamonds. Last month when we were talking about silver mind control.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, I was Lenny Calderon from Tech.
Yeah, you know that he has a cousin whose name is Lenny Calderon, and I met him through an entirely different venue. His cousin's name is Lenny Calderon.
Really?
Yeah, he works up in. I just thought I'd mention that. Nothing to do
so
with
another
you people.
Lenny Calderon.
It has nothing to do with you people, friends. The point is that Tom and I went to the same college, and he's talking about a person we both was in our class.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what about him? Why did he come up?
Well, Lenny Calderon, as you may recall, moved to California.
This is Lenny Calderon. I might add. I just want to add this in. I don't mean to make this. This is the only man I know who had an autographed picture of Richard Speck. Okay. Go on. So go on now.
You remember this? It's
go
true.
Ahead. Yes.
So Lenny Calderon's out here, and we hook up. I don't remember how, because there was no Facebook, Twitter, or anything like that. But somehow we found each other in Los Angeles. And he married a girl, don't remember her name, Rosemary or something. I don't
know.
The agent. He married some girl.
Yeah.
And she, I was struggling to write, as you know, that's why we came out here, as you recall. And I'm trying to write scripts and comedy things and so on and so forth. And his wife, Fran Calderon.
That's right.
She had an executive job at NBC out here. And she very generously offered to help me to send scripts around, to make connections for me. And she was getting my name out there as a writer. And she said, you know, in 3 months, let's have dinner and I'll tell you where it's at with you and show me some more writing that I could send around. Well, in those 3 months that we're talking about, I got involved with Silva Mind Control and all this psychic stuff and everything like that. Well, 3 months come and Lenny calls and said, let's have dinner Friday night. So I'm getting ready for dinner with Lenny and Fran, and I'm in the shower, and I'm living alone at the time, and I'm in the shower, and I hear. Now, this is an instance of actually hearing, not my mind's ears, I heard a voice, a deep voice, say, the Eight of Diamonds will figure prominently this evening.
It had to be a deep, it was a deep voice, right?
It was a deep voice, and check out that syntax. I mean, what's with what? The Eight of Diamonds will figure prominently this evening. Like, who the hell talks like that?
You know? Well, you have one of those machines that you get fortunes, you know, have this one of those. It's a character.
Maybe.
Yeah. The Eight of Diamonds.
I heard this.
Yeah, you heard it.
I heard
it. Sure.
And because, I freaked out, although I wasn't as
I hope you didn't slip, did you, in the shower? You didn't slip, though. You freaked out, but you didn't slip. You didn't fall.
I didn't slip. You just, I didn't fall. And I
holy crap.
Went out of the shower and said, who the hell is that? And what is that? And
so you went out and looked for the you looked for the person who might have said it.
Yeah.
That's how well you heard, how clearly you heard
this. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there was no person there. I'm, you know, I proceed to go see Lenny and Fran, but this, you know, something like this leaves an impression on you, you know. And I'm thinking, I'm driving to have dinner with Lenny and Fran. I'm saying, what's this message? What's the Eight of Diamonds? It'll figure prominently. I'm not going to play cards, you know. So we're having dinner, and Fran scolds me because I'm wasting my time with all this psychic crap. She says, you believe in all that shit? You should, where's your pages? I need pages to show. I got your name out there and people said, show me something else you wrote. You don't have anything? And I said, no, because I've been doing this. And she said, what a fool. You believe that stuff? There's no evidence that it doesn't work. It just doesn't happen. And then it dawned on me that the voice was, and I said, okay, obviously, friend, you don't believe in any of this stuff. I said, think of a card. And she did. And I said, the Eight of Diamonds. And she, just like Alfonso's cousin, she almost passed out. By the way, that's the last time I ever heard from Lenny and Fran. Never heard from them again.
Now there's still plenty of room there for coincidences. Plenty of room for to look at that scenario and see, like, a, you know, out of 100% pie, how much of that was coincidence, how much of that was something, you know, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Plus, there are only 52 cards in a deck, so there are mathematical odds to that also, which are real.
That's pretty big odds.
Why? No, there's 52 cards. What are the odds that she's going to come? You ask her to go across. She can't say the Klim of Klobgards. Now, she said, if she said, pick a card, she goes, the Klim of Klobgards. It's a different kind of deck of cards. And you said, what? If you had said the Klim of Klobgards.
But you see, this is okay, this is one of the stories where my family says, oh, you forgot. This has happened decades ago. You're fabricating this. You didn't really hear the voice, did you? But, you know, you're going over the part about hearing the voice, which was – now, that I've never heard a voice before, and I've never heard a voice – a disembodied voice.
Now, again, whoever this low voice belonged to, whichever person or spirit or what have you, decided where whatever his chores were for that day, because whatever, he said, he's assigned to you or something. He's just assigned to you, or he's skipping from live person to live person. And just to make it a little bit more interesting, he's going to give you something you don't even understand. He just wants you to remember. Instead of coming to you in the shower, which I might add is a little bit invasive.
Yes, you know.
And say to you, Tom, you must make Fran understand this is real. No. He said, I don't want to do it that way. I'll just tell him Eight of Diamonds. Let him figure it out. Now I'm going to move on to the next person and give him another quiz. What kind of games are these jerks? What are they playing? playing here? This is just absurd. I mean, I don't get it.
I don't either.
How do you know? Remember the lady who had the horse racing scam? There were 8 horses in a race, and she said, call and you give me a winner. What did she do?
I don't remember.
She got 8 people to call her and give her $25 for a winner. So she gave each one of them a different horse. One of them was going to win.
Right.
Okay, so how do you know he didn't go, say, 8 of diamonds to 35 people?
So are you suggesting like there was a spiritual committee that said, we need to let people believe in psychic phenomena? So let's go out there and tell everybody a different card. Or
even if we buy that fact, why does he come with the quiz question? Why does he give you something you don't even understand? Why doesn't he address himself? Why doesn't he say, who am I? Who you are? My name is Elvis Elijah, and I lived in. I mean, what's the big deal?
I can't answer that.
I know you can't, don't you see how those questions lead to the absurdity of all this and make you like more skeptic than anything? Because it doesn't make any sense. I'm open. Let them all come on. Come on in. Come on. Let's talk. Talk in the shower. Talk on a bowl. If I have guests and I'm having sexual activity, come on in. Join. Whatever. Let's just get this over with. What's the big deal? I don't want to deal with any of these. And then a person who believes in it goes, you see, you said you don't want to deal with it, so you don't want to come. Ah, screw them then. I mean, because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make it. And then you're saying, why does it have to make sense? You know, because we're...
But this made sense. Now, driving to the dinner, it didn't make sense. It was like, what the hell was this message? And what, the 8 of diamonds, what the hell does that mean? It was only in context of that dinner, how it came up that there is no such thing as psychic phenomena, that it dawned on me, whoever this voice was trying to, let me again be a vessel, in a sense, or a vehicle for the idea that psychic phenomena, telepathy, this stuff does exist.
There's a guy named John Edwards. You people might want to write that name down. I don't know if he does a show anymore, if he just goes around. He used to have this show on one of the stations, I don't know, and it was a talking, I don't know, he talked to people. He had a studio audience. And then he would stand there, and he would just go, oh, that lady over there with the red hair, I'm getting something. Is there someone, a J, there's a J. Anyway, this guy used to say, connect with the audience. And then people would pay him to have private sessions because they wanted to know what was happening to their loved ones from the other side. He was, for all due purposes, called a medium. He was the interceptor. Right?
Yeah.
He's the guy in between. Right. Okay. That's why I call him a medium. So, cause he mediated between the voices that only he could hear. And he said that he got this gift. Hey, this guy's from Brooklyn. Everybody should look him up. He was from Brooklyn, Tom. He said as a little kid, this is, you know, he had this experience. And from there on in, he didn't have to go into any trance or anything like that. He would just look at the person he was looking with and go, and oddly enough, I found out that there was, and I don't know why he's chosen for that or why he's more receptive or if it's true or if, you know, Hitler shaved or not. I mean, this guy can talk to people on the other side, and people hire him to sit and find those people, okay? But there's an old carnival trick that has to do with and the Amazing Randy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we know him and who followed in the footsteps of Houdini, which is like, let's find out what's real and what's not real by debunking. Yeah. Okay. Right. And magicians who above all people who, you know, will always tell you it's not magic. It's a trick, but I make you believe it's
yeah.
Okay. So there is no magic. Magicians are saying there's no magic. I mean, it's a trick. Okay. So this guy, John Edwards, I found out a lot about this particular, gimmick that you use to find out things about people and how you go about it. It's all based on the fact, as a good con man would do, that you get the confidence of someone, and you do get the confidence of someone because everyone wants to believe that in the first place. See?
Mm-hmm.
So you're on the right track. Okay. So I would get telemarketers would call me up, and I would start talking to them about this, that, and the other thing. And they'd say, you know, and just kind of get familiar with them. And they'd say, yeah, so what do you, you know, what do you want to do? I know you don't want to do this. You know, no one wants to be a telemarketer. That's just, what do you want to do? It's like, well, you know, I want to do this, that, and the other thing. And then I would start playing this game with them. I said, I see an A. Who's in, who in your family is A? Angie, Andy, Andy. And just do this. And then it was, oh, well, there's an Arnold. Oh, it, you know, I fell into that. Arnold, you know? And they, she said, what do you know about Arnold? I said, nothing. I said, it's just what I do. What do? I'm a psychic, I tell them.
Yeah.
And I went about, and these people who shouldn't be on the phone with me forever were on the phone with me forever. I can't tell you how many things I got right. All the time. And they believed it because they wanted to believe it and because I was able to just, you know.
Now, wait a minute. You just made a statement. You wouldn't believe how many things I got right. And they believed it. But so was it right or were they just
believing
it?
No, it was right. But the point is I didn't know anything. I was just kicking through the sand to try to find a footstep, something I could step into. So I obviously, everybody's names begin with vowels. I mean, this is just a, you know, so it's like, oh, there's an A, or there's an Andy, or there's a John, or there's, you know, there's how many people, you're going to be right. There's the mathematics, you know. And then you say to things like, and I would stop and I would go, so did you get the money for that car yet? And they'd go, no. Why? Because if you're working as a telemarketer, chances are you want a new car. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, sure.
This is an old carnival thing, and people were believing that I was a psychic. I said, you keep my number. You call me back if you need something, because I think you're going to have a rough month ahead of you. Oh, who isn't going to have a rough month ahead of them, you know? You will meet a tall, dark stranger. Did you see the Woody Allen movie, You Will Meet a Tall, Dark Stranger?
No, I didn't.
You should see that because it has to do with what this everything we're talking about.
Is that the name of the movie?
Yes. Everybody write this down. He's not in it. It's a movie with Josh Brolin and I think, what's her name? Naomi Watts. It was either Naomi Watts or the other one. Write this. It is Naomi Watts and Antonio Banderas, I think. Write this down. Oh. You Will Meet a Tall, Dark Stranger. Once in a while, it's on cable. Or you could go get it at your Amazon or wherever else you get it. I'm not advertising for it. But it's that whole thing. What do you believe? What you don't believe? What's real and what's not believed? It's it all. And where does coincidence fit into any of this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, then, you know, again, there's the Jung's synchronicity about coincidence, you know. I mean, Jung's thing is just a theory anyway, so it's not a proven thing, you know.
Well, you know, if you read Sherlock Holmes, enough Sherlock Holmes stories, you begin to pick up the talent of observance. He wasn't a psychic, even a fictional psychic. But so the thing is, but you can the things you could see and you can hear and you can get right and just go. They're not the telepathic. I mean, you're telling yourself, you're using your brain, but it's not these people, these things, these spirits that are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're quite. Why don't they do some good? Why don't they solve something? Why don't they do something? See, it doesn't make any sense to me that there would be this great divide between those of us who are alive, who may one day be these spirits, and those spirits who are just wandering around like a bunch of Keystone Cops bumping into one another. And it's like, well, you know, tell us something. Do it. Work with us here. Work with me here.
But, you know, I'm totally projecting this now, but the voice who told me about the Eight of Diamonds, I don't know. I mean, maybe this entity was trying to promote in France to be more open that maybe these things can exist. Maybe telepathy. Isn't there fish? I had telepathy yesterday. You know, maybe there is something to.
Sure. This. I mean, why go to Fran and tell her?
Because she's too close.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was more fun to be with her in the shower. He didn't even think that either.
Yeah, I would have gone. Yeah, if I were him, I would definitely have gone that way.
Anyway, you see what I'm getting at is that the gray area is so gray compared to the black and white of it all, and that and you know you lean towards one area, and I just lean towards another. I think I don't only want proof; I deserve it. I feel like I deserve it. I feel like we all deserve it. We just don't, we shouldn't be able to play these. We have enough to do. You gotta make sure you pay the rent. You gotta make sure you do this. You gotta do that. You gotta pay it then. And they come to you and they say, wait, let's take care of your relationship. Oh, who'd you meet? I don't know. What do I love her? I don't care. I don't mind. Blah, blah, blah. All this stuff is going on. And then a voice comes and says, the king of clubs. And I'm like, what now? What now? And I think if you talk to them, you know, what do they do? Run away? I talk to them. If I think I hear something, I, all right, come on in. Who are you? You know, come on in. All right, I believe part of Indiana Jones and the, and I believe part of the, I believe, come on in. What happened? Is there a, I don't, it's just, it's, you know, and it gets to the point when you think about that much that it's stupid. Listen, once again, look at this. We have, you know, we've just rode. See how quickly this goes?
Yes.
People always, guests always tell me, what are you going to talk about for like an hour and a half? Well, it's easy. Yeah. It goes by quickly. And, you know, it's 2 hours, but it feels like 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Just it's like that. But you're going to be back because we're going to do this, right? We're going to make it. We're going to make it a deal to do a Savino Cotolo Chronicles. Maybe at least once a month.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, at least once a month. And we'll find some other. So keep, you know, look around for things you want to talk about. Look around for things that we could deal with. I don't know if we didn't solve anything, but we certainly brought up to a lot of you people. We probably filled the page in your books there for some things to look at and look for. And of course, everybody has these things in their heads anyway
about
real and unreal and consciousness and the distance between us and whatever the hell is going on.
Yeah.
The other.
And if anybody's interested in nothing psychic at all, but if you want to follow my Twitter, it's TJ Savino at Twitter.
And you should, because Tom also comes up with some pretty funny stuff, just like I do now and then when I'm not doing my other nonsense. So we do. And do you know, Tom, can you answer this? Think about this for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't there a vice pope?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah. It's like, well, we got to get another pope. We have a vice president. You know, God forbid the president dies. We got a vice president. He's standing there. Just that's all he's there. Why isn't there a vice pope? Why? Just, he died
it
now.
We got to be a vice pope. Yeah.
So, you see, none of this makes sense.
No. My students had a theory that the conclave, the enclave or whatever it is, I guess it's an enclave, gathered. And the smoke that was out the chimney, with the, you know, they were just smoking grass. And the one who got the highest.
I love it.
He's the pope. That might be a better way to go, actually.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay. Well, hey, thanks for, again. I'm really enjoying this immensely, and I think we should definitely do it. And I'm getting a lot of good feedback from it. So tell everybody about it. And you know, we'll do it again. And everybody, go to Tom's Twitter, go to my Twitter. You know where I am anyway. And keep in touch with what's going on. You and I shall talk one way or another. Okay, bud?
Okay, take care.
You too, man.
Bye.
That's Savino. And who's the other guy? Who's the other guy?
That's Scatola over there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Exactly. I don't know who we have on next time, but we will be back and have someone on. Maybe Dr. Karen Wyatt will come back. Maybe someone else. We have a whole panel of people and tons of things that are going to be going on. Who knows? Maybe we'll have Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine as our guests. You just never can tell. In the meantime, in between time, take care of yourself, take care of others, and if you don't want to do that either, then just stay home alone and do what you want. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil. Wherever you are, this is Frank Cotolo, man whose name we're doing to title the show. We have chronicled. Thank you, Tom Savino, again. And now I'm leaving because I have nothing more to say.